and on each of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bibles with you, I would invite you to turn them to the book of Jonah. And if you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, there's one in the pew. And I think the passage in Jonah is at page 849. Somebody look at the bulletin. 849. Tomorrow is Yom Kippur. This is the Day of Atonement in the Jewish faith. It is that day of the year set aside after a period of reflection for confession and repentance and restoration to the Lord. The book of Jonah is read on Yom Kippur. And so the message of the book of Jonah, which is about confession and repentance and acceptance and God's mercy, is important for the Jews as it is important for all of us, and particularly for the Christian church who has its roots in the faith of Abraham. The story of Jonah and the whale, I think all of us learned in Sunday school, and if not in Sunday school, we've certainly heard the story of Jonah and the whale. And if you're like me, and I think like most of us, what you remember is that Jonah got swallowed by a whale and survived for 3 days and then got spit out, right? And that's about it. I mean, that's as much as we remember. A very strong image. In Hebrew, actually, the word is great fish. It doesn't say whale. I think the assumption was made by people later that it was a whale because they couldn't imagine a fish big enough to swallow a man. My theory is that if God says he was swallowed by a great fish, then it was possible, although some commentators today say, well, this must just be a made-up story because even a whale couldn't swallow a man. And then others argue, well, a sperm whale could, so it might have been a sperm whale. My theory is if God says this is what happened, then it's what happened. And if God decreed that I would be swallowed by a goldfish, then I would be, whether anybody today thought it was possible or not. But I want to go through this story a little bit so that you understand the context of the reading that we all heard from the book of Jonah. Jonah is a prophet of God. That means he was called by God into God's service. And God said to Jonah, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh and tell those people that they're in sin and call them to repentance and call them to turn back to me. Well, Nineveh was the capital of the kingdom of Assyria. It's where they brought all of the spoils of war after they conquered territory after territory. And the Israelites hated the Ninevites and they hated the Assyrians. And so when God says to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, that is, to the people that the Israelites hate. Sounds like the story of the Good Samaritan, doesn't it? God keeps asking us to do things we don't want to do and to go places we don't want to go. So he tells Jonah, go to the city of Nineveh. And what does Jonah do? He says, I ain't going there because you're a God of mercy and compassion. And the next thing I know, you're going to be forgiving them and showing mercy towards them. And I hate them. They're not worthy of your forgiveness and your mercy. I'm not going. So Jonah gets on a boat headed for Tarshish, which is in southern Spain. I mean, this is like the opposite direction from Nineveh and about as far as you could go in the time of Jonah from Nineveh. I mean, it's way on the other end of the Mediterranean, right? Excuse me. So Jonah gets on this boat and they start sailing and this huge storm arises. And all the sailors on the boat start praying each to their own individual gods that they'll be saved or the storm will be calmed. Doesn't happen. Finally, the captain goes down and discovers Jonah asleep in the hold of the boat and wakes him up and says, please pray to your God. You know, we're praying to our gods. It isn't working. Pray to your God that he'll calm the storm. And Jonah says, effectively, won't do any good if I pray to my God. They don't know why. So they decide to cast lots because they've figured out that maybe somebody on this boat has made his God unhappy. And so they'll figure out who it was. So they cast lots. Guess who gets picked? Jonah! Right? So they drag Jonah out and they say, what's going on? And he says, well, it's me. God's mad at me. You know, I'm not going where he sent me to go. And you ought to just toss me overboard if you want to be saved. And they sort of go, really? Toss you over? No, we'll try to save it. So they try to save the ship, right, without tossing him overboard. Can't do it. So they finally go, all right, toss Jonah overboard. Sea calms instantly, which brings conviction to all of the sailors. And they say, this God is the true God. All of the sailors on this boat repent and offer a sacrifice and praise Jehovah God. Jonah, meanwhile, underwater. And he has wonderful prayers in here, which you can read in chapter 2. In fact, the structure of the book of Jonah, chapter 1, he's outside of the fish. Chapters 2 and 3, he's inside the fish. Chapter 4, he's outside of the fish. Nineveh, by the way, and this stuff, if you really get into your Bible, in fact, even if you get into it just a little bit, you discover that God has all sorts of wonderful little surprises, little turns of phrase here. Nineveh means house of the fish. How do you like that? Jonah isn't getting away from the fish no matter what he does. Anyway, so Jonah's down there and he's in the fish and he starts praying all these prayers. These are mostly prayers from the Psalms that Jonah prays. And then so finally God has this fish, the word in Hebrew is vomit him onto the shore. But you get the idea. So Jonah finally says, all right, Lord, I'm going. And he goes to Nineveh. Nineveh is such a large city that it takes 3 days to walk through it. And Jonah goes there in order to preach that these people should repent and turn from their evil ways. He's only there a day, and the city repents. He hasn't even gotten all the way through the city. And they hear his message. They're ready to hear the message. And they repent. And so what does Jonah do? Does he rejoice? Yes, I have brought God's message, and they have repented. Hallelujah, praise God. No, he pouts. He goes outside the city and sits down by one of the gates and just pouts. He's mad because God did exactly what he said he would. Okay? Now, we come to chapter 4 of the book of Jonah. And if you've got your Bibles, look here. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Why? Because Nineveh repented and God showed mercy. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. He's angry at God for showing mercy to the Ninevites. And so what does he say? He basically says, so kill me, right? I'm so mad, just kill me. He says, now, O Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to live than to die. Jonah is angry. And the Lord replied, but do you have any right to be angry? Actually, what the Hebrew says is, do you do well to be angry? Slightly different cast on this. Doesn't say, do you have a right to be angry? He says, do you do well to be angry? And what God is asking Jonah here is, of what benefit to your soul is this anger? Do you do well to be angry? So it says, Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. He was hoping God would destroy it anyway, but he didn't. It says, then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head. My translation says, to ease his discomfort. This is the NIV, where I have, you can see lots of notes scribbled over the years. So it says, to ease his discomfort. Actually, what the Hebrew says is that the shade covered him and delivered him from his evil. Now, think about that. This is a funny thing that this says. The plant grew up, gave Jonah shade, and the shade delivered him from his evil, which was his anger, right? Gave him respite from his discomfort in his own anger. It delivered him from his evil, okay? But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided, I have a scorching east wind. This is a Scirocco. Is it the Volkswagen that's got a Scirocco? This is a very hot, scorching east wind that occurs in the Middle East. It's unbearable. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. And God asks him this question again. Do you do well to be angry? Now he's angry about the plant. First he was angry about Nineveh. Now he's angry that this plant, which had given him respite, is now gone. So he's angry about the plant. This is a very angry guy. And Jonah replies, I do. He says, do you do well to be angry? And Jonah says, I do. I am angry enough to die. This guy will just not give it up. And then the Lord said, you've been concerned about this vine. In other words, you cared about this vine. You worried and puzzled about this vine because it grew and then died. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their left hand from their right. That means that they don't know God, basically. And so he says, Jonah, how can you be angry? You're angry about the plant. You're angry about this town. There are 120,000 souls here that I love and who have turned back to me. The message of this book of Jonah is this, and it's an important message for every one of us to hear, every one of us. God's justice and his mercy, which is a part of that justice, is often unwanted and often unexpected. And it's unwanted in this way. My enemy is not worthy of God's mercy. I hate him so much, or I hate her so much. I don't want God to show mercy to my enemy. I want punishment for the one that I hate and who has injured me. I want punishment. I want retribution. I want payback. I want revenge. I don't want mercy. Even if this person repents, I don't want mercy. And so I make the judgment. I put myself in the place of God, and I say, this one is not worthy of God's mercy. And so like Jonah, I might flee rather than bring a message of repentance and compassion and God's mercy to that one who needs to hear it. Even though I'm called by God to share God's message, his call to repentance and his promise of mercy, even though I'm called to do that in a place where I don't want to go and to people I don't want to talk to and a people I don't want forgiven, God calls me to do it, and he will pursue me to the ends of the earth until I turn to him. So one is my enemy is not worthy of God's mercy, and the other one is I am not worthy of God's mercy. I am not worthy of God's mercy. God wants to give me his mercy. He doesn't give mercy to those who have never done anything wrong. Could he find one? The mercy is for those of us who have sinned. That's what it's all about. And it's when we're willing to recognize the ways in which we have sinned and turn back to him, and then his mercy flows abundantly. And so the story that Jesus told today from the book of Matthew really is about that abundance of God's love and God's mercy and how God shows it to us. A day's wages were given to each of the workers, each of those called into the vineyard of the Lord, those who came late and those who came early. Can we imagine, and this is really what Jesus is telling us about God's justice and the mercy which is a part of God's justice, can we imagine that for the person who as a young child said, Lord, I accept you, I will work for you and with you, and spends an entire life in the service of God, and another one who doesn't turn to him until the age of 20 or 30, like me, or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80, and then finally says, Lord, I have heard the message of your mercy, and I repent and I confess. Can we imagine that that second person gets 1/10 part of God's love, and the first gets all of it, or 1/4 part, or 1/2 part? Jesus' message in the gospel today is God does not divide his love. When we return to him, we get it all. We get full payment. It doesn't matter if I came to him 20 years ago or I come to him this morning. We get all of it. There's one last message in the story of Jonah, which I am not going to share. I think the Lord wants each of us to hear it. But as I began to talk and tell you what I think it is, he told me to just shut up. And I'm going to invite every one of you to go back and read the 4th chapter of the book of Jonah. And see if you understand there what God is doing with Jonah, with this plant. Remember these words. When it says that he eased his discomfort, what it says is that he delivered him from his evil. That's all I'm going to say. Just go back and read that and ask the Holy Spirit of God to speak to each of your hearts through this passage, that you might understand something astonishing and wonderful and deep about the nature of God's mercy and the way he teaches us. We'll just leave it at that. Everybody's assignment this week is the 4th chapter of the book of Jonah. And if you want to call and talk to me about it, feel free to do that. And if you want to talk to each other about it on the telephone, call and do that. There is a wonderful lesson here for each of us to learn, and I'll let the Holy Spirit share it with you. May God bless us and make each of us aware of the abundance, the undividedness of his love and mercy for each of us. Amen.